Colossians chapter number 2. And we're going to look tonight at one verse and leading up to that one verse. And I trust it'll be a blessing to you. Verse number 6. The Bible gives us this verse. The title of the message tonight is, As You Have, So Walk. As You Have, So Walk. I'm glad that you're here tonight. It's good to see each of you here. Verse number 6, the Bible says, As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. I was pastoring in a small country town in Johnson, Kansas. My father-in-law used to call it Lapland. That's where Kansas, Colorado, and Oklahoma kind of lapped over one another, right down there in the corner. And Miss Judy went to a wedding, and boy, that's been a number of years ago. But she left and went to the wedding, and I, for some reason, could not go. And so I made up my mind that I was going to read, start to finish, a book in the Bible besides one of the, you know, 3 John or something of that nature. And I sat down and I began to read in the book of Colossians. And I read down through chapter 1. I was excited about what God had to say to that New Testament Baptist church there. And I got over to chapter 2 and was reading down through. And when I came to verse number 6, it was like God kind of got a hold of me at my heart and pulled me back down to that and said, listen, you need to pay attention to that. There's more there than what you read through when you looked at it. And so I read it again. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. And it became an intricate part of my life and my ministry and my thought process that the Lord Jesus Christ is interested not only in us coming to Christ, and there's only one way to come to Christ, and that's by coming to Christ. You can't come through any other thing. You come directly to Christ. You deal with Christ. He deals with your sin, and we need to understand that. And then so he says, As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. And so I began to study some things out and kind of in my mind put together some situations, some ideas, some thoughts. And I've used it a number of times, but each time I think about it, each time I try to build a message around that portion of Scripture, it comes out a little bit different. And I think probably because of the different situation that I'm in, different position I'm in, different place, different people, different situations in their lives, they need this more than they need that, and you need this more than you need that. And so it's the same book, and it's the same message, but there's some things we're going to point out that perhaps we haven't pointed out before. So if you would look with me to the Lord in prayer, and we'll ask God to make it special to you like it's been special to me. Father, thank you for the privilege to preach. Thank you for this pulpit, for the privilege to preach in this and from this pulpit. Thank you for people that are here. Bless those, Lord, that could not be here. I pray, Lord, you speak to those who could be and have chosen not to be. Ask you, Father, to visit with their hearts and help them to understand that they've been a disappointment by not coming, and I pray that they'd understand that. So I pray, Father, you'd use us tonight for your honor, for your glory, not just here with us, and we do pray for that, but also with those folk who are watching by way of live stream. We thank you, Lord, for that technology. Ask you, Lord, to bless it and use it for your honor and for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. As we look at this portion of Scripture tonight, let me introduce it by simply saying there's a great safety sometimes in going back to first principles. First principles can be very, very important. Vince Lombardi was addressing his brand new team. He had just taken over the Washington Redskins. And forever they'll be the Washington Redskins. They can change the name and they can throw away all their stuff, but they'll always be the Washington Redskins. It doesn't matter. And that's the way that'll be. So he says to them, he said, we need to get back to basics. And then holding up a football, he said, this is a football. And what he meant simply was, sometimes you have to go back in your mind and your heart and your attitude and check out what it was when you first got started. The Word of God says it this way in Hebrews chapter 5 and verse number 12. The Bible says, for when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. And so here the Apostle Paul, or whoever the human writer was of Hebrews, I believe it was Paul, he stresses to these people, you've come to a place where you're not growing like you should. You're stunted. You're held back. Something's bothering you. You ought to be teaching people, and there's a need for you to be taught again the first principles of the things of God, the oracles of God. Now, when growth is needed in our life, when there's doubt in our life, in order for us to more accurately share Christ Jesus with other people, it's good, it's great, it's even necessary that sometimes we go back and remember what we did in comparison to what the Bible said to do in the matter of being saved. At the church of Colossae, they had begun well. They had a good name. And the Apostle Paul is all desirous that they'll continue to do well. And so the Bible tells us to start with that they had received Christ Jesus. Now, there's a whole lot of teaching right there in just that phrase. They had received the Christ Jesus and the Lord Jesus Christ. And now there's other terms that we use for receiving Christ. As Baptists, we often use the word saved. We sometimes use the word born again. And that's a very good phrase. Jesus used that in John chapter number 3, talking to a very religious man. And yet, it's kind of got burned out. And people have kind of redefined it and said, well, what that really means is, probably if I talk to 20 people about the Lord Jesus here and being saved, eight of the 10 of them would probably say that they were saved when they got baptized. And that's not true. That's not true. Baptism has nothing to do with you getting saved. Has nothing to do with you staying saved. It's an outward experience, an outward expression of what's happened in your heart. And so there's a lot of false things running around, wrong assumptions. Baptism, good works. People think that, good works will do it. But another term for being saved and born again is justified. Another one is redeemed. Another one's converted. In John chapter 3, the Bible talks about eternal life. It talks about everlasting life. And all these are things which mean that you are prepared in your spirit and soul to stand before God one time, knowing that your sin debt has been paid in full. Until that's done, you're not prepared to meet the Lord. And so those wrong assumptions, baptism and good works and membership and giving, all those things don't work. Listen to what the Bible says in the book of Romans. The Bible says, for they, that's talking about lost religious people. People who have religion, but they're lost. The Bible says, for they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. So the Bible says here, clear back in Paul's day, there were a number of religious people that refused the righteousness of God. They said, phew, that's old-fashioned. That's not necessary. It's not necessary for me to humble myself and admit that I'm a sinner and I can do okay the way I am. And so they're going about trying to establish their own righteousness. Well, one of the problems with that is the Bible says all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. They're filthy rags. God has no desire to see our filthy rags as we're trying to get to heaven. He wants us to, when God looks at our heart, He wants to see the Lord Jesus Christ. In Galatians chapter 2 and verse number 21, the Apostle Paul says, I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. And I talk to people all the time. They say, well, I've been baptized and I'm a member of the church and I tithe and I give and I do this and I do that and I do something else. And I say, well, the way you're going, I guess Jesus didn't have to die. I had a friend that was pastoring in Kansas, and he was next door neighbor to an older lady who was just a religious prude. I mean, she had so much religion, it just came out everywhere she went. And it was a false religion. And so he was talking to her one day and he said something about all have sinned. And she said, no, not everybody. I'm not a sinner. I'm not a sinner. And he said to her, too bad you weren't alive when Jesus was here, because he had probably married you. I'm sure he had gotten married if he could have found a perfect woman. And she said, well, I'm not that perfect. He said, that's what I've been trying to tell you. You need a Savior. And if you're not as perfect as Jesus was and is, you need a Savior. And if we could do it by ourselves, Christ died in vain. Listen, I say this as respectfully as I know how and still able to say it. Jesus Christ was a 10-carat gold-plated fool to die the death that he died, the humiliation, the suffering, the shame, to die that kind of a death. If we could earn our own way by any method, if I could give millions of dollars and get to heaven, Jesus was foolish to die the kind of a death that he died. If I could give my children to be burned and went through with that, and Jesus was foolish to die the kind of a death that he died. There is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved, the Bible says. And so we need to understand that they had received Christ Jesus. And of course, the Bible says that they had received it as a gift. It was a gift. The Bible says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so the Bible says this gift they had received. Didn't say they had earned it, because they hadn't earned it. There's nothing that a person can give to earn salvation. They cannot purchase it, and we certainly do not deserve it. I guess one of the most humbling and honest times in my day is when I get before the Lord as a sinner on my way to heaven and confess to Him how fortunate I am for His grace and His mercy and His ever new compassions that are new every morning. What a wonderful Savior we have. It was a gift. And then this is not something that they grew into. They didn't one day say, well, you know, I think I'm going to find me a new religion. And so they got up and started checking about Christ and checking about this and said, oh, I feel a little better than I did yesterday. And they got up the next day and started doing a few more religious things. And, whoo, I feel better than I did before. And they just kept doing this and doing this. And one day they said, whoo, I guess I'm saved now because I've done all these religious things. No, they didn't grow into it. It's not something that just kind of goes through you like some type of, you put a rag into a tub of water and it kind of wicks up. That's not how you get saved. You get saved from one time you're on the broad road that leads to destruction, and the next time you're on the narrow road that leads to eternal life, and it happens in a moment of time when Jesus Christ comes into our heart and into our life. The Bible said that these folks had received Christ Jesus. Now that took a couple of things. First off, it took a decision. The song that we sing once in a while said, I have decided to follow Jesus. Well, if you're saved, there came a time when you decided to get saved. You didn't go to bed lost and get up saved. It didn't happen like that. You had to make a decision. You made a decision, and they made a decision. And then, of course, they made a choice. They've been thinking things over. They made a choice. I have chosen Christ Jesus. And then it was an action. There was an action. They not only thought about it and considered it, but they actually did it. They actually asked Jesus. They actually confessed to God that they were a sinner on the road to hell and asked Jesus Christ to be their Savior. Not almost. You remember one of the legal people was talking to the Apostle Paul one day and said, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. And Paul answered and said, I wish that thou were both altogether, almost and altogether as I am. Paul said, I wish you were completely saved. Because you see, to be almost saved is to be completely lost. We need to understand that. And so the Bible says that there's an evidence of this having happened in a person's life. And the verse we use often here, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 17, says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And some people try to fake it till they make it, but all they're going to do is bust hell wide open when they die. I don't know why people play games with God. They can fool the preacher. They can fool their spouse. Or they can fool the neighbor man. They can fool their children. They can fool their parents. You can't pull the wool over God's eyes. God knows. Why in the world would a person want to try to play guessing games with the Lord when the Bible says we can know these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. And so the Bible says they had received Christ Jesus. Now, how do we receive Christ Jesus? That's important. If one does not know how to receive Christ, then we can't know how to walk in Him. And verse number 6, it says, as you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. And so if you don't know how you received Him, how in the world would you know how to walk in Him? I know some people today, they get all excited about the things of God. They say, "Whoo! I want to run for Jesus." Listen, I learned a long time ago, people that try to run before they learn to walk. In fact, I believe that there's medical evidence that kids who learn to walk before they crawl or learn to run before they walk usually end up having eyesight, eye problems. And I don't know what that is. I don't know why it is. I just have known that. I've heard people telling that, and I've kind of observed it. And so we're supposed to learn to walk before we try to run. Some people are trying to run a marathon, and they can't walk across the street scripturally. They know nothing, and they act like they know everything. So here the Bible testifies that that we have to, if we're going to walk in Him, we have to, the way God wants us to, we have to know how we came into Him. So let me share some thoughts with you along that line tonight. Number one, the Word of God. If we got saved by the Word of God, and that's the only way you ever get saved, then we're supposed to walk by the Word of God. Some people will get saved, and then for all apparent purposes, they'll just kind of throw the Bible away and just do their own thing. The Bible testifies that the Word of God is necessary. No one ever, listen to me, no one in any place ever got saved apart from the Scriptures. No one. No one. That's why missions is such a must for a New Testament Baptist church. Because we are to send the gospel to every creature in the world, because no one ever got saved without the Word of God. And let me share some verses with you. In James chapter 1 and verse number 18, the Bible says, of His own will begat He us with the word of truth, the word of truth, that we should be the kind of first fruits of His creatures. In James chapter 1 and verse number 21, the Bible says, wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness, listen, the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. I don't know if you've ever done any grafting or ingrafting of things, of trees or plants or anything, but that's the topic that is used in the Word of God. God wants to engraft the Word of God into us, because it'll bring us to Christ, and we can have our souls saved. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 23, the Bible says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. And so we need to understand that when we think about they received Christ, as they had therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, they're going to walk in Him. We need to understand you can't walk in Christ without the Word of God. You put aside the Word of God, and you're going to falter and fall. You're going to make bad choices. You're going to go lame. You throw away your influence and throw away your service for the Lord Jesus. It's going to be pitched away and put on the dunghill while you do your thing instead of listening to the Word of God. Now, this sets aside every other thing that people want to use for salvation. Oh, how many people today in Charles County want to use emotion? Say, I'm saved because I cried one time at an altar. Doesn't work. It doesn't work. They want to use their feelings. Well, how do you know you're going to heaven? Because, oh, I feel like it. I feel like it. Man, I felt a lot of different ways. That doesn't mean I'm going to heaven, nor if I don't feel like it, doesn't mean I'm going to hell. God doesn't use our feelings. Now, I'm glad that God creates us with emotion. I'm glad that God has emotion in His plan for our lives, and we enjoy emotion, but we sure better not base eternity on emotion. We're going to have problems if we do. Some people use heritage. Well, preacher, you just don't know. My mother has always been a Christian. My mother, my grandmother before her, and they want to use their heritage. I think if you studied in the Word of God, you'd find out that Judas had a pretty good heritage. And for 2,000 years now, Judas has been weeping and wailing and gnashing his teeth in a place called hell because he rejected Jesus Christ, even after seeing Him work for 3.5 years. how we need to understand that heritage is not where it's at. Somebody says, well, my mama said, your mama probably said a lot of things she shouldn't have said. Amen. Now you say, well, you didn't know my mama. No, I could have probably loved your mama. I love my mama. I love mamas. But mamas aren't perfect. This book is. We need to understand what mama said doesn't count when it comes to salvation unless what she says comes out of here. Some people want to use their position. Well, preacher, you need to understand that I've really climbed up the ladder in a hurry. I'm a real well accepted in my job, and politically I'm a whiz. And well, great, wonderful. Tell that to your tax collector. But understand this, that doesn't impress God. And if you don't have Jesus, you're lost. Someone says, well, I have religion. Could I say it was to a very religious man that Jesus said you must be born again? According to history, the Pharisees had to learn all the Old Testament, some people say. Some people say only the first five books of the Bible. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Only the first five did they have to memorize by heart in order to be a Pharisee. Only those first five. Nicodemus was a ruler of the Jews. And he came to Jesus by night. He knew there was something in the life of Christ that he needed. Something that wasn't coming through in the teaching of the other Pharisees and the other Jewish leaders and priests and so forth. So he went to Jesus and talked to him by night. And Jesus said to him, you must be born again. Jesus wasn't playing any games when he said that. 1 John chapter 5 and verse number 12. One of my very favorite verses when I first got saved, because I had problems. I struggled. I knew that Jesus had come into my life the night I invited him there. I had his promise. He'd never leave me. He'd never forsake me. But I kept wondering, is there not something more I ought to do to guarantee me a place in heaven? Is there not something more I ought to do to guarantee me eternal life? Is there not something more that I ought to do? And somebody gave me this verse in 1 John chapter 5 and verse number 12. It says, he that hath the Son, speaking of Jesus, hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. So God said, did you ask me to come into your heart? And I said, I did. Did I come into your life? I said, yes, I know you did, because all the changes that came up when I asked you to come in. He said, well, I've never left you. And so I knew that I was saved and on the way to heaven. Not because I'm good, but because he's good. So there's the word of God. Oh, how we need the word of God. We need to trust him and hold to the word of God. And then the second thing is faith. Whatever we do in the matter of coming to Christ, we need to understand the need for faith. 336 different verses, so it's probably, I'm guessing probably close to 400 different times in your King James Bible, it talks about the thing called faith. Faith. In Romans chapter 1 and verse number 17, the Bible says, for herein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just must live by faith. And so we can't even live without faith. Someone says, well, I don't have very much faith. Well, you probably have more faith than you think you have. You just have it in the wrong place. This morning when you got out of bed, did you flip your foot out of the bed and say, well, I think, I'm pretty sure that floor will hold me. Did you do that, or did you just think, well, it's going to hold me by faith? You jumped out of bed and there you were. So you had faith in the floor. You walked over and turned on the light switch. Unless you got up after the sun was up. You didn't need to turn on the light then. But you flipped on the light switch and said, wow, it came on. Woo! It didn't surprise you that the light came on. You put your key in the ignition and you hit the starter and it started. And you may have said, whew, I didn't know about that, but it worked. And faith, we live by faith. The Bible says the just are to live by faith in the Lord Jesus. Romans chapter 5 and verse number 1, the Bible says, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. As long as a person's trying to be justified because they got baptized, because they joined a church, because they give money, because they go on visitation, because they talk to people about Jesus, if that's what you're trying to use to be justified, that's what you're trying to use to have peace, you're never going to have peace with God. The Bible says, because we're justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 10 and verse number 17 says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Someone says, I don't have much faith. Get into the Bible. That's where faith comes from. You know, people get on TV and on Facebook and billboard signs and advertisements they mail into your home. They say, if you'll just take this pill, it will do wonders for you. We guarantee it. It will. We promise. And you buy it, you take a wagon load of it, and it doesn't do any good, and you go back and they're out of business. God says that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And I promise you, if you're saved and you read the Bible, your faith will grow. Your faith will increase. And the Bible says that as you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. Walk by faith. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 6 says, but without faith it is impossible to please Him. For they that come to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. So God tells us we're supposed to, it's impossible. It's impossible to please God without faith. It's impossible to come to God without faith. And so it's impossible to please Him. In Hebrews chapter number 11 alone, just in chapter number 11, faith, the words by faith are used 15 times. Talks about all the great men and women of the Old Testament. They're listed there, not all of them, but many of them. It says, by faith, Abraham. By faith, Noah. By faith, Enoch. By faith, David. You want to do something wonderful for God? Walk by faith. By faith. You came to Christ by faith. Now walk by faith. And of course, every good and glorifying thing that was ever done, every good and glorifying thing to God that's ever done was accomplished by faith. Our salvation and all that we intend to do is a matter of Christ and having faith in what He's done. Christ's faith, not our feelings. We need to understand that. And then the third thing, as you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. You got saved by prayer, through prayer. You prayed, you asked the Lord Jesus. Listen to what the Bible says. Luke chapter 18, beginning in verse number 9, the Bible says, and He spake this parable, this is Jesus speaking a parable, unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank Thee that I'm not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote it upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, Jesus said, that this man went down to his house justified rather than the other, for every one that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humble himself shall be exalted. In Romans chapter 10 and verse number 13, the Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. Somebody says, well, what if you're in a position where you couldn't call? I don't think it has to be an audible thing. But the calling of God from your mind and from your heart, oh God, be merciful to me, a sinner, and save me. Those things have to be functioning in your life or you're not saved. Prayer, calling upon the Lord. 1 John 5, verse number 14 says, and this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. And so the Bible tells us that prayer was important to get us saved, and prayer is important today in us walking with the Lord. Of course, there's other things we could talk about. Somebody brought you the gospel. You wanna have an experience of peace and passion in your life. As someone brought you the gospel, take somebody else the gospel. That's the way it's supposed to work. We're not, you know, it's supposed to be like that old sourdough bread they used to pass around. You know, the cowboys would carry it around, they'd give this guy a pinch of it, they'd give this guy a pinch of it, and just keep growing and growing, they'd give it away. And as they gave it away, it would grow back. When you give away the gospel, the more you give away the more the gospel will mean to you. And so the Bible testifies we're supposed to, as we have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, we're supposed to walk in Him. And so tonight I trust you're reading your Bible every day, holding your Bible. I trust you're living by faith. And I trust you talk to the Lord Jesus on a regular basis over and over and over again. God bless you. Let's bow our heads, please. Close our eyes.